Hey, how y'all doing out there this wonderful Monday afternoon? Hope everybody had a great weekend, and last week was good for you as well, because I wasn't here. Okay, so we're here today. That's right. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. How you doing out there today? Woo, man, I tell you, a lot has happened, man, since I've been gone for 1 week. I know it makes you sound so long, right? 1 day a week. But anyway, seems like I've been gone forever. Man, L.A. have an earthquake this morning. And, of course, you got the George Floyd trial, but it's really Derek Garvin, the officer. You know, George Floyd, everybody know that name now. So anyway, we got that going on. Well, yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that because, whoo, man, we're going to talk about that today. Yeah, that's basically what we're going to do. A couple other things maybe sprinkled in here and there, but that's basically what we're talking about, the trial. You know, because I've been watching it. I usually don't watch these things, but for some reason I'm curious to see how it's going to work out. So I've been watching, taking notes. Man, I tell you, this is some good stuff. But anyway, let me tell you how you can be a part of the show first. The first and easiest way is call me, 347-838-8622. Once again, 347-838-8622. Press the number 1 on your keypad. If you want to talk to me, join the conversation. We'd be glad to get you in. All right, the other ways you can email me, Eric, E-R-I-C, let's talk at gmail.com. Yeah. If you want to send me something through the show, in the middle of the show, go right ahead. You know, after the show, that's fine. Before the show, which is after the show, which is before the show. It's a little crazy circle we get our stuff caught into. But anyway, yeah, that's how you can do it, and I'll be more than happy to respond, read, or whatever you need me to do with it, okay? I'm on Facebook at Eric Let's Talk, you know, Facebook.com. Instagram, Eric Let's Talk, duh. And Twitter, Driven 4, F-O-R, Life 62. Yeah, so that's it. Okay, so we got all that out of the way. That's the other ways you can talk to me, and I'll be more than happy to get to you. Now, if you have any other ways of communicating with me, you're more than welcome to use that as well, okay? Now, with all that being said, I'll tell you, let's get to this trial, okay? Yeah, that's because I do want to talk about that. You know, I've been trying to watch and doing my little final preps for the show and stuff, man. But I tell you right now, that commander, whatever he is, police chief, man, he killing it. He is killing it. Man. But you know what, though? If you really look at the trial the first week anyway, and right now, including today, the prosecution has been killing it, man. I mean, the prosecution has been getting it on. You hear me? I know they've been putting a lot of stuff out there and bringing in some witnesses I didn't think would, you know, be involved. But you got a 9-year-old child, 19-year-old child, 18-year-old. Man, I realized I forgot where it was. So I said, okay, yeah, I can see that. But I didn't think they would call them to be witnesses. But hey, in the high thing trial like this, it's gonna happen. Anyway, yeah, so we've been watching the trial that's going on, and yeah, I know who that officer, Derek Chauvin, yeah. He's charged with second-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter. Yeah, they're trying to get him. So the trial started, you know, because he held his knee on George Floyd's neck. George Floyd died, and that's all we knew. That's all we knew. But if you have been watching this trial, you're beginning to it just blows your mind. And here's one of the things that, you know, really, really piqued my interest was the different type of people that were so-called witnesses. But when that little black guy got up there and started talking about he an MMA fighter doing private security and started narrating the moves that Chauvin was making on Floyd's neck, man, that just blew me away. Because like 99% of us, we never noticed the foot. Well, we never thought the foot moving was applying more pressure, did we? The move, slight movement on the shoulder. Isn't that amazing? But anyway, and I'm bringing that up to say, you never know who's watching, who's going to be able to lend you a hand here and there. You know, so that's why you need to be nice to people. But anyway, back to trial. So the first week, man, we saw a dispatcher. Yeah, dispatcher, police dispatcher, okay, 911 dispatcher, however you want to classify them. But, you know, her testimony was, you know, basically telling them what they, you know, she did as, you know, as a dispatcher, some of the calls, how she would dispatch the calls, so forth and so on. But when girls sat up there and said, it didn't look right, I called the sergeant. And then when she said, she called him, she said, I called him and I said, I didn't want to be a snitch, but isn't that something? So for everybody out there saying there is no cold or blue or whatever they call, they don't take care of their own. That's it. That's confirmation right there. I don't want to be a snitch, but yeah, this just doesn't look right. This don't look right. So I better call somebody. So basically, she called the police on her police, along with some other bystanders. Yeah, that's how this trial's been going, man. I mean, who would think? I mean, she need to be given a commendation or something just for having the guts to do that, to see something wrong and say something about it. Because, you know, a lot of them jokers out there now, they see going what's going on as an example of why they're having a trial now. And won't say a word. See, and that's I'm encouraging you to watch this trial, man, because you are learning. I am learning so much, so much. Not just from people like the police, the doctors, or whatever, but just from everyday people. Everyday people, and I'm saying all this to say, never discount who you can learn from. Okay. All right. Anyway, so, yeah, she basically called the police on the police. She says she saw what was happening between officers and George Floyd when they would put him in the car. Then all of a sudden they was dragging him out the car. Yeah, that's when she saw, and then, like, they're wrestling, whatever, and then he went into the what, onto the ground. And she said she just had a gut feeling. Isn't that crazy? And then, of course, the defense attorney got up and decided he wanted to try and discredit her. Yeah, discredit her. You know, trying to slyly bring up that racial issue that this country is so focused on. But yeah, but she fought her way through it, and we were good. We were good. You know, that was really made me decide to go ahead and watch this thing. Yeah. So I don't know how many of y'all been watching this, so I may be boring some of y'all. But anyway, yeah. So then there was this shift leader from the gas station across the street, you know, who came out, and she was one of the ones who had her phone video going. Yeah. She said it seemed like a long time ago when trying to remember what happened. And she recorded on her phone four different times of what was going on. And this shift manager really looked like she didn't really want to be there anyway, just to say what she wanted to say and be done with it. But I found it interesting that she said it seems like a long time. Because you think about when it happened and they just getting the trial started. Man, that's some time to have to remember all that stuff, right? Okay. Just a little something I thought of. But, yeah, she recorded herself four times. Now, Donald Williams, that's the black guy, Donald Williams the second. Now, this cat here, he was the bomb diggity on day one. I mean, yeah, or the first week. I was going to say the first week. He may not have been day one. But this is the guy that supposedly had work private security, okay, even with some of the officers on the police force. He was an MMA boxer, wrestler, and he did a couple other things. But anyway, if you listen to the tape, if you go back and watch the video, and you hear a guy yelling, "That's so, I know what you're doing," that was this guy here, Donald Williams. And what he was saying, he was telling Chauvin that, "Hey, I know that move what you're doing right there. I know what you're doing. Stop." You know? Yeah. But when he started saying, "Watch, I can tell you every time he put more pressure on it," right? And then he started calling out little things. I said, "I'll be dang on. I watched this video 20 times and still didn't notice all that." And, well, didn't relate all that movement to that. Yeah, this Donald Williams, he was good, man. He really was. And he also was the one having the conversation, or initially having the conversation with Tao, the one that was standing closer to the curb. In one of the interactions, Tao told him, "This is what drugs do to you." Yep. Isn't that crazy? That was police. That's what they tell you. This is the mother of the dude to it. Now, you know, one of the other things I found interesting about the first week of the trial, and I'm surprised the defense attorney didn't jump on it, was the issue of George Floyd's size kept popping up. But the defense attorney never came back at any of the witnesses to see about some clarification about that. And maybe they're planning it for when they come up. I don't know. But I thought personally they should have jumped on it in, because everybody was saying George was a big guy. He was a big man. You know, and think about that now. You're an officer. You run up on this big guy right here. Just two of you. And you just wrestle with him. You get him in the car. He say he can't breathe. You pull him out the car, and you're still wrestling with him, right? And before you start wrestling with him, you call back for backup, because he's such a big guy. He knows the two of you are going to struggle. Yeah, not buying that, are you? Okay. I just thought I'd try. But anyway, they may have been scared of George's size, because everybody, week one, the majority of them kept saying he was a big guy. He was a big guy. But then again, I think it's a very shrewd move by the prosecution if they have them do that. Because that could be something that the defense attorney could come back and try and hammer in. But with the prosecution already putting it out there, it kind of mutes the point a little bit. You know, it takes the sting off of it, the importance. Yeah. So, you know, I think the prosecution right now is painting a very, very beautiful picture. I really do. So we'll see. It's a lot more. It was a whole bunch of testimony last week. We'll get to it throughout the show. But right now, somebody don't want to talk to me. Mm-hmm. All right. 111, welcome to the show. Who do I have here? Talk to me.
Well, I was coming to your show last week, but somebody didn't show up.
Well, that was unfortunate circumstances. I had some business come up at the last minute.
I know.
Thank you.
I've been to your show long enough to know that if you don't show up for your show, something had to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Mm. So are you reading the chat because you seem to pause in between? Somebody writing about the
No, that was me. I was straightening up some papers. Don't worry about
that. Oh, you're taking your notes?
Okay. Yeah.
So you find this trial interesting. I mean, where can I watch it? I didn't know that it was televised.
Well, I mean, you ain't going to watch no CNN, HLN. But it's on. You can find it on, you got Pluto TV? I don't know if you got Pluto TV.
I don't have TV at all. Can I see it live on YouTube?
Yeah, I'm sure you can.
Okay.
Because
I like trials. I like the way that the prosecution and the defense go at each other. If they're, you know, if they're warriors. If they're not warriors, then sometimes a good, important, interesting trial, a would-be interesting trial, turns out to be a dud.
Yeah.
You know what I did read? I read that the defense attorney was going to present a case that Floyd was hiding pills in his mouth. Did he bring that up yet?
No, not specifically.
Okay.
But see, this is the beauty of what the prosecution is doing. They're jumping the gun on all that and bringing all that out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're bringing all that out. So when, by the time the defense attorney decide to hit on it, it may not have as much sting as I was saying earlier. In addition to, you had medical doctors come in for the prosecution already say he was dead when he got to him. And giving him Narcan was not going to help any. So that kind of hurt their drug overdose theory. You know what I mean? But Joe, you know what? I don't care what the defense come up with. Here's one thing: they have to win. 9 minutes and 29 seconds.
Oh yeah. Why is some? You know what? You know what I did find out only a few weeks ago.
That
particular type of move or behavior by a cop is approved of by the Minneapolis police force.
Well, that's not what this police chief on the stand saying today.
You know, I wanted to talk about that because you brought that up earlier in the show. You were implying that the police chief is practically throwing this guy, one of his blue, under the bus.
Well, no. No, I'm doing what the police chief, you know, when he took over, said he was going to do. He wasn't going to tolerate no excessive use of force. So, but no. I was talking about dispatcher that called the sergeant, you know, in that sector during when all this was before it really got as serious as it did to say, hey, something's not right here. You may want to go and check this out.
Yeah, I remember you saying that, but you said the police chief and his testimony was important.
Oh, yeah. It is important. I mean, they're not going to ask him because they had a sidebar earlier this morning before the trial got started, and they're not going to ask him, you know, about the training and, I mean, about, you know, specific training dates and what have you. But it was something else he said, too. But anyway, the bottom line came is, hey, the police chief is telling his thing. He's doing the thing. He being questioned by the defense team now. But I go back and check on that when I get off the air. But anyway.
So when he was questioned, was he making statements that seemed to implicate the officer even more?
Not as saying, yeah, he did this, but once they started going over the actual policy that they had up, you know, it kind of, you know, went against old boy a little bit.
But, I mean, the police chief himself. The reason I ask is because right after this incident happened, there was a former police chief of the town of New York City, right? And he was on the air. And the guy says, even before the trial started, even before there was even an arrest or any kind of charge against him. I think they made a charge against him. Well, maybe not. But in any case, this guy, the former police chief, he was on the air saying that the officer, he acted like, I think he said he acted like a psychopath, but if he didn't use that terminology, he said that the guy acted way out of order. And when I heard that, I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. The blue line never does that. The blue line never, ever throws any of its own under the bus, especially a police chief. So right away, I'm thinking, okay, something's wrong here. I don't know what it is, but something's wrong.
Yeah, well, see, and everybody said, okay, 9 minutes. Okay, he didn't realize what time it was, you know, how long it had been. Because, you know, in a lot of instances, things happen, and, you know, they're longer than we think, but to us, they're just seconds, you know, going slowly by. So maybe that's what it was, too. But 9 minutes and 29 minutes, Joe.
It sounds like a hell of a lot of time, right?
Yeah, but, well, see, and it is when you're trying to breathe. What I'm about to get to, not one time did any of those officers check to see was he still alive. That was the crazy part.
I'm saying I can't breathe. So
yeah, but I'm saying once he stopped. And see, here, that's the beauty of the witnesses that the prosecution had been coming, you know, that were there. One was an MT. Another one was, like I said, the MMA fighter. You even had a 61-year-old black man who was telling George, give up, man. You can't win. Give up. Give up.
I saw that video. Yeah.
And he said, no boy said, and you can hear George said, I'm trying. You know,
I also heard they knew each other. Did you hear that?
Yeah. They worked security in the club.
Yeah.
Some years back. Yeah. Man, also the rumor is, you know, Chauvin's daughter was kind of digging on him. So.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So, uh-huh. Yeah. But anyway, and as I was saying at the beginning, you know, the other thing was George wasn't a small man. Now he was not a tiny man. So you know, immediately when you see you up against a big man and it's just two of y'all, hey. We're going to have to move some furniture, as we say in the hood. You know what I mean?
Yeah, clear it out, right?
Yeah. So it's being a soldier, I can see how it immediately escalated to that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially as the people got on the sidewalk and was yelling and screaming. I can actually see that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on one hand. But on the other, I keep thinking about seeing him with his knee on that man's neck, hands in his pocket, looking down.
Mm.
And that is what really irks me.
You know what? If Floyd didn't die, then all this, you know, his knee on somebody's neck wouldn't have been a big deal.
But that's the thing. Over a $20 supposedly counterfeit bill it was only a misdemeanor.
I don't know. Yeah.
I think that's what I read here not too long ago. But yeah, it's only a misdemeanor. Now the other thing is they're trying to say, well, George had high blood pressure. George had opioid addiction, blah, blah, blah. And that is what killed him.
Well, even he didn't die of the, if I'm correct, he didn't die because of the cop. He died because of underlying conditions.
That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
But can we say that in the middle of a battle, his underlying condition just finally get the best of him, and bloop, gone, bye.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you see what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. It's like saying you got shot in the heart, and then you say, well, it's not the bullet. It was the heart bled to death. Yeah,
exactly. So, I don't know about that one. But the defense is that's what their point is trying to say is, well, you know, he used fentanyl, he had other meth, and blah blah blah. And his girlfriend, when she testified, she really didn't help too much because she had to admit they used drugs together and they did so and so together, you know. So you know, she was a win for the prosecution, but a win for the defense as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's where she stood at on that. But it's crazy because she was just talking and like, man, okay.
Was she making any sense? Was she babbling?
Yeah, she was making sense, but she really didn't want to be there. You can tell she didn't want to be there. Yeah.
Who wants to be involved in this? You know, they're calling this the trial of the century again, you know, beating out OJ. I don't think this is going to – I don't know. Nah, I don't think
it's Yeah, it will. You know why? Because it's televised more. It's televised, okay? And if you're really sitting and listening, you're learning a lot about the way some, especially the Minneapolis Police Department, wherever he was killed at, Police Department, Yeah, you learn a lot about what officers are supposed to be doing.
Right.
Okay, as by their standards and rules and all that. Now, if you take that and say everybody's watching that trial, go to their police department, say, I want a copy of your SOP. You know, we call it SOP in
the
military.
Standard operating procedure,
Yeah. You know, let me see that. Can you imagine how much better probably some of this policing would get when they're aware that the citizens know exactly what how you should be acting and when you should be acting?
Well, you would think so. You would think that the cops, if they knew that the citizens were more aware, that they'd be more on their toes and be better behaved, but who knows?
But then again...
Right.
You know, you have citizens that know certain loopholes that use that to their advantage as well.
You know, I don't know. Well, let me ask you something. I don't see. I've been pulled over. Let me see. Once or twice. I think it was once for a traffic violation. But do you find, or do you know of, or do you feel that anybody, black, white, or Asian, as long as they keep their mouth shut, they don't get in trouble? Or do you find that there are too many cops out there who, even if they find a driver who is nice and passive and does everything, that the officer turns out to be a wise ass and an asshole?
Well, Joe, that's a dang good question. And initially, I would say, some people need to, you know, people need to keep their mouth shut, right? And then it just hit me like, wait a minute, you just can't say that without saying, okay, maybe some law enforcement has had a bad day that day, and you just happen to be one to take it out on. Now, whether it cost you your life or not, we don't know, but he had a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you start thinking about that, Joe, let's talk about the ones that should keep their mouth closed, all right? Because we know some, they're guilty, but they just want to argue because why? They see a blue or tan or whatever color uniform walk up to their car. So they automatically go from 1 to 100.
Right.
You know, so, and let's go back to, like I was saying, about some of the shootings a few years ago. You know, you have to be careful what you bring on yourself. And here's what I'm saying, because it could be a nice... Because I've been stopped by officers a few times, and I think I've only got one ticket out of those times. Because, you know, you just talk to them like anybody else. But when you present an attitude, you know, number one, it makes you look a little guilty. And number two, you know, you're sending out that vibe. That vibe is not good. So, of course, you know, they're trained to look, you know, as we're finding out in this trial today, they're trained to react certain ways. So, hey, sometimes they bring it on themselves. Now, do we have some overzealous officers out there? Heck yeah. Do we have some that'll work the system? Oh, yeah. You know, they're, you know, property forfeiture they had?
Oh,
you know,
those asset forfeitures, yeah.
Yeah, asset forfeitures, yeah. Now, do you think everything made it to lockup?
Oh, hell no,
before it went on auction. No. So
you can't even get your money back right away either.
I know. I was following one guy. Man, he had this taken in 2002 or 3, and to the year before last, he still hadn't gotten any money back. Because you have to prove that, you know, it wasn't involved. How are you going to do that? They arrested you for it.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
Unless you
that's
got
a lot
camera,
of work.
You can't, yeah, it's.
Yeah. Exactly. But to answer your question, I think it rolls both ways. But if I had to put a percentage on it, I would say 60% citizen, 40% officer.
Mm. Yeah, well, the cops, even without traffic violations, I remember that I've asked cops questions, and they get a little snarly.
Yeah.
And I'm just asking a question. They don't want to be asked that particular question. So I'm thinking, you know, if this guy is a traffic cop and he stops somebody who doesn't like the cops and he goes and the driver gives him a dirty look or he says, yeah, okay, I'll get my effing driver's license for you. That could, you know, the cop can go, yeah, we'll see who owns the streets, you know. And I think it's a bad attitude on both parts. I think 60-40 might be a good ratio, but even, you know, I don't know if cops to me are people, because I worked inside the cop station one summer as an intern, and this is inside their house, right? They look for. I've also gone to parties by cops. Now you can't go to a party by a cop and not get, you know, and not get the full party flavor because they're not worried about other cops busting up the party. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, but the overflow of testosterone, as chicks like to say, is flowing all over the place, all the time, even inside the cop station. The cops like to argue amongst themselves for no damn reason whatsoever.
Wow.
For no reason whatsoever, except just to show, you know, well, this desk is my turf, that spot is my turf, that conversation I was right on, and it's incredible, you know. It's like what you see on TV sometimes, like a cop just gets into an argument for another cop just because, you know. It's Well, you know what? The finest citizens, in my opinion, do not apply to be cops. You know what I mean? I think it's No, I don't think it's the finest citizens. I think it's like washed up athletes who, you know, who rode the bench for a while, people who can't get a job paying more than $30,000-$35,000. So they
former military.
Former military. If you're a former cop in the Army or an AP in the Air Force, you might look forward to becoming a cop because maybe you enjoyed it, you know, in the service, maybe. But most of the time, if you're a citizen and you've got nothing to do, right? Instead of going into the service, maybe you apply to become a cop. I don't think they get the finest citizens in there. As a matter of fact, the New York police force got sued because they were trying to recruit dummies, literally stupid people.
Hey, infantry always need people. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
People just take orders to go out there and get the stuff killed. Yes, sir.
Yeah. I think we all know some of them people there. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, geez. But no, I'm talking literally. There was a case where the commissioner asked the director of human resources, it was a woman, to lower the test standards. And she said to him, if you lower the test standards any lower, you would be getting, and she said, imbeciles.
Wow.
Excuse me. So what happened was she refused to do it. She got fired. She sued the police department. It came out in trial. That's what the New York Police Department was trying to do, was trying to, you know, get people who were not the finest, not the brightest. So, and I have to think that the people in Los Angeles, when you talk about how many cops get sued over there, they really don't. They really can't be that bright.
Well, I mean, you know, there were plenty of songs made about the L.A. Police Department, so.
Well, probably all true, too.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Of course.
And let's not forget Serpico. He was talking about the corruption in the police force.
Uh-huh.
And then there was one cop who had a show on BTR, and his partner was a former police, not a police chief, but a fire, I don't know if it was a fire chief, but somebody who worked in the fire department. So he had a former cop, former fire department personnel. And there, and I said to them, what do you think would be the ratio of corruption, even though you don't know every cop across the nation, but what do you think would be the normal corruption based upon your experience? Because the guy was a whistleblower.
Uh-huh.
And he said about minimum 20%, maybe 30%.
That's all?
Yeah, right? Is that all?
Is that all?
Yeah.
But
because
then again,
unless you're a crook.
Yeah, but look, unless you encounter one of those individuals on the street, then that's not such a small percentage, you know. But yeah, I thought it would be more. I was gonna say about 70.
Well, I guess maybe
60,
you want
70.
To be conservative. Who knows? But I know, or I've heard, that the cops single, you know, if you once you graduate the academy,
uh-huh.
you get paired up with a cop. The cops are, you know, the senior cop, the guy that's going to be mentoring you for a while, he's already on the take. He already knows the streets. And he wants to make sure that his partner isn't going to rat on him. So he makes sure that, or he tries to make sure that the partner, you know, gets a taste of whatever the senior cop gets.
Uh-huh.
That way the junior cop gets incriminated, gets part of the system, he doesn't get ostracized by the other cops. Well, think about it. What do they call internal affairs? They call it the rat squad. The rat squad. They shouldn't call it the rat squad. They should be calling that the cleanup squad. That's supposed to be taking care of taking out the bad elements from the police force. And you would think the cops would want that to make sure that the public has trust in them. But instead,
true.
They get called the rat squad. So right away, that tells you something.
Yeah. Yep, of course, because they're going against their own. You know. I don't know, but so far there's been a detective and another officer and the police chief, and, you know, they're not holding anything back, basically. They're telling it, you know, as they see it. Well, in fact, I think the one detective said Friday that he thought the hole was too much and definitely too long. I have to find where he said, but yeah, that Chauvin head on Floyd.
Oh boy!
You know, yeah. So that, as I said, they're not really holding too much back right now.
That
if they get asked
like
the
it.
Question,
yeah.
and you know, the other attorney don't object, you know, or the judge, hey, they go ahead and say it. Go ahead and say it. Now, you know, looking at this whole thing, though, I'm telling you, George, I find it very, very interesting. You know, at the questions that I, because, you know, if you're like me, you watch a lot of, you know, shows with courts and, you know, and
yeah.
you see the lawyers and all them going back and forth. But if you sit here and watch, you're like, that's not how that's supposed to go. Wait a minute. You know, why did he object to this?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and you know, and you sit there, you watch it, and you're like, okay, y'all are really boring, but it's intriguing at the same time. You know, because when they say it, you don't hear them. You know, judge will say sustain or overrule,
yeah. right.
or I want them to go and answer. But yeah, other than that, you know, you don't hear too much after that. And you're like, okay.
I know what you mean.
You know,
I watched. The real court cases are really boring. I mean, super boring, unless you got somebody like F. Lee Bailey, who's a lawyer. But most of the time, it's like watching paint dry. You hope that the defense or the prosecution would stand up and say, objection, Your Honor, you know, and trying to make sure that their particular case is going to be is going to be defended. But a lot of times it's just a boring prosecutor or a boring defense attorney asking boring questions.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, right now, I think maybe that's what's keeping my attention is because you have these people come in and they're explaining stuff and you're like, I never thought about that. Oh, really? Wow. You know, like earlier today, you know, they got that, I hate those words. They have the Narcan for the overdosing. Right? And, you know, the ER doctor that was on there testifying earlier today, because he was asked if, you know, even though he was having, if he was having a heart attack, if you'd have gave him Narcan, you know, would that brought him back? That's, you know, throwing the theory out there that he was overdosing.
Right.
And the ER doctor said, if he was having a heart attack, no, it wouldn't have helped at all. I'm like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like, okay, I didn't know that. You know, I knew about Narcan, but yeah.
I didn't even know about Narcan. I don't know what that is.
Oh, you didn't know. There's a drug they came out with when, you know, little preppy white kids and stuff started overdosing on opioids, their parents' opioids.
Uh-huh.
So they came up with a law, and they created this drug called Narcan that every law officer, fire department person, and so forth and so on should have on them. So if they come across somebody overdosing, it's like an EpiPen. You know, they're going to shoot you up and whatever. And then that should, that should bring you back from being overdosed from your. Now that's the way it's supposed to be.
In theory, right?
In theory, right? No, which, you know, once the prosecution brought that, I mean, the defense brought that up, I thought about it. I'm like, okay, so if they thought he was overdosing, why did they administer Narcan then too? See, and then Joe, here's the other thing. Do you know when the ambulance finally arrived, the paramedic had to make him get up off that man?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
he did not move until the paramedic had to make him get off.
So as soon as the he heard the sirens or we saw that the EMP or the EMP was approaching, he didn't get up. He had
no.
He stayed there until he was practically forced to move. Huh?
Yeah. 9 minutes and 29 seconds, Joe. That's part of that 9:29.
Yeah, that and actually, sounds so,
you know,
long every time I hear it.
the paramedic, look, the paramedic, you know, when he got there, you know how they trying to assess, you know, check him out before they even touch him. He looked like he was dead. He wasn't breathing. To top it off, they loaded him up, put him in the back, and moved to what they call a safe zone. Stage. It's called a stage.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And basically what that is, go somewhere away from where there's a lot of crowd, you know, maybe trouble, and find somewhere safe to work on.
Yeah.
But the time they got from the time they started moving, they was trying to revive him, Joe. They were trying to, you know, the paramedics now.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh.
But if you watch the video, you can see him still wiggling, and all of a sudden his body, like, go limp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
and I think
Chauvin
noticed, too, because he kind of looked down at the same time. But, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been following the case that strongly other than what I have. See, I don't watch TV, so luckily I don't watch mainstream news. But any other alternative news that I've been looking at hasn't been mentioning the trial that much. But the trial's only been out for about a week, you say, right?
Yeah. This is the second week today. Start of the second week today.
How long do they expect it to last?
3 to 4 weeks.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
That's what they're expecting, but you know how that can go too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Yeah, so when you start thinking about all that and the 9 minutes and 29 seconds he had his knee on that man's neck, well, you're like, whoo, it's not looking good for you, man. You know, because they charged him with second-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter.
Yeah, when they have the lower charges like that, they're trying to get you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they want him. They want him.
Yeah.
You know, and to add that the chief that's testifying today, he the one who fired him.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the one who fired him.
Well, did he fire him and then he joined that police force? Or did he fire him at least? Did he fire him? When did he fire him?
Right after the incident happened.
Oh, okay. So in other words, he was working under this police chief's command. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. What you thinking about?
I'm thinking that the police chief fired him. Then this guy got a job with another police force.
Mm-hmm.
And this police chief is the former police chief of this guy. I'm thinking maybe that's what happened.
No, that ain't it.
Okay.
That's not it.
All right. Yeah.
Now, wait a minute, but
here's
another interesting thing going on with this trial. There's a couple of people that was with Floyd in the car, you know, and his girlfriend, we're going back to his girlfriend's testimony, right?
Mm-hmm.
She testified, as I said, that he would buy drugs from this guy and this woman. And both just happened to be in the car with him at the same time.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So fast forward to that, the guy, you know, he was arrested, I think, just before the trial started for something. And they called, they wanted to call him to testify. And he told them straight out. He said, I'm going to invoke my fifth if I go up there. I said, you know, that's the smartest thing that young man probably said in his entire life. You know, so they're not really expecting to call him. But I think that would be the bombshell. Because he can tell you, well, whether George had just bought from him or not. And I think that's why he's like, I'm not even getting involved in that. No more than I already am.
I can just imagine. Yeah. I can visualize this guy's attorney being right up there on the witness stand, next to the witness stand, just to make sure that the guy says, I'm invoking my Fifth Amendment right. What's your name? I'm invoking my Fifth Amendment right. What time is it, sir? I'm invoking my Fifth Amendment right. Yeah. Mm.
They just plaster it up on the plexiglass they got up there right now, the shield.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even thought of that. It must look like a science fiction convention, everybody with a mask on, like something out of Halloween.
Well, when they're speaking, they don't have their mask on. But, it's set up pretty good. But they're doing what they're doing, the dang on thing. You know, everything is through computers. They're talking through computers, you know, like whatever the special little rooms they use. But, yeah.
Oh,
so
they
never facing
the
each other.
They're not in an open courtroom?
No. No. We're in the middle of a pandemic, Joe.
Oh, Jesus.
But anyway, I got somebody else who want to come in. Hold on.
Oh, boy.
Triple One, welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
Hello, Mr. Talk.
Hello, Mace. How are you?
Joe don't accept being in the middle of a pandemic. That's why he don't know about it.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
That's right, Mace. That's right.
But anyway, let's get back to this, whatever you want to call it. Now, his girlfriend, I've been waiting to ask somebody this question. If he OD'd, where's the medical records where she called the ambulance to come and get him or help him out?
Being that he talking about that time he got sick.
Yeah, she said he OD'd. Yes.
Yeah. Where's the medical records?
Yeah, she didn't call the ambulance or somebody. When he got sick from overdose.
I think she said she drove him to the hospital, if I'm not mistaken.
We need to see the medical records. And then,
Mace, wait a minute before you move on to your next 18 topics mentions. So what about the records? Why would they need to get the records?
She said he had got off drugs and then they got back on drugs.
Right.
So So that's why I'm wondering what the medical records from her, when she took him to the hospital from when he OD'd. Just to show that she was telling the truth.
But, I mean,
some of those people that have been on that stand.
I don't.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
I wouldn't trust them if I could, as I could throw them.
you know, Maze, there's nobody been up there but prosecution witnesses. And who else was up there, Maze?
The doctor that said he was on drugs when he came in the store. The one that said he was on drugs, the one that accused him of the counterfeit money.
Yeah, he wasn't a doctor, though. He was what are you talking about, Maze?
He was what?
He wasn't the doctor. The one who accused him of the $20 bill being fake?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What, his boy was 18, 19 years old?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what was the problem with him?
He was saying that he was on drugs.
He said he looked like he was on drugs.
That's what I'm saying, looked like he was.
Yeah.
He looked like he was on too.
Well, Mace, you know that is what the prosecution is going to, you know, is working hard at trying to get out there. Yeah, he had a drug problem. His own girlfriend admitted
problem.
they bought drugs together, what have you. But the question is though, did those drugs kill George Floyd in 9 minutes and 29 seconds, or did the knee of Derek Chauvin? That is what the bottom line is going to be.
Yes, but when they were saying that they went to the coroner and there was no bruises on his neck from that man on his neck, I'm like, it was nothing else but him murdering the man in plain eyes, so you can see.
Well,
are we
looking at the same trial? Because I don't remember no bruising thing. Now, I remember the doctor testifying is there was some bruising. There was some bruising.
There was no bruising. Maybe I was listening from Fox, but maybe I was listening to what they were saying.
Yeah, I don't
that's
know what you're listening to.
There was no bruising showing.
No,
I'm saying it didn't have to be no bruising to know that was an open assy murder.
An open who, Maze?
So you can see with your eyes that it was a murder.
Oh, okay.
He murdered the man, and the man, and when he said it, did you hear the part where he said that one of the cops asked him, should you turn him on his side? And he said, no, he's going to stay just like I got him. You didn't see that part either?
No, Maze, I missed that part, too.
Well, damn, you missing it. You not really watching.
Was that during the trial, Maze?
Oh, I'm watching.
Yes.
Yeah.
It
wasn't during the trial. Wait a minute. No, because, let's see. No.
One of the cops asked the question.
I'm going to have to go back. I'm going to have to go back and see, because I don't remember that.
Asked the question, should you lay him on his side? And he said, you're going to say, just like I got him. That's what he was told to one of his coworkers. And then when the man sit on the stand and say, that's why when that's not a procedure that you do, putting your knee on somebody's neck, that will kill you. And that should have been the end there.
Okay, what man are you talking about now, Maze? What man are you talking about now?
The policeman that sit on the stand and testified.
Oh, talking about the police chief right here or the one that testified Friday?
The one Friday.
Okay, all right. Now I'm with you. Okay, yeah, I mentioned that already. Yeah.
Well, then you need to go get that part that you missed.
Listen to you.
No, but
listen
you said you didn't hear. No, I'm saying that you didn't hear when he said, when the cops said turn him on his side. So he explained the whole thing, and then he said he told him that he was going to stay just like he had him.
Okay,
with
man.
With his knee on his neck and his fingers in his hand in the pocket, putting more pressure.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, see, Maze, I remember your conversation, what you're talking about. But that wasn't a police officer. That was the guy, Donald Williams. That was the MMA, what you call it?
A fighter?
Yeah.
I don't care which one. The one that said that putting the knee on the neck like that was what killed somebody. Yes, that man.
Yeah.
But I'm saying what he was saying with his own.
Yeah,
officer.
Donald Williams. Donald Williams.
Yeah, him.
Yeah.
I did see it. That part of the transcript where it went back to where they was discussing by one of the officers saying, shouldn't you put him on his side? Go back and find that transcript. They were sitting there doing that. But I'm just watching.
You're not going to focus on it?
No, I'm not focused. So see, some people trying to make a focus to start something, but it's not going to work.
What?
But they don't seem too many cops get off for things doing wrong, and they don't seem too many get off. If this one get off, they think they're going to burn off the tap stuff, too. But it ain't going to happen.
No, I think I know what you're talking about.
That would be shocked.
Well, okay, Maze, you saying this is going to be another O.J. Simpson type of thing? If they find him innocent?
Well, they're mad about O.J.
Well, but Maze, you know, right now, and I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm saying, as I said earlier, right now, the main thing is, did drugs kill him or did 9 minutes and 29 seconds kill him?
If I want to see you put your foot on Joe Nick for 9 minutes and 29 seconds, I'll see if he lives.
Of course. Good Lord, man. You know, if I didn't know who you were, you would have to get the shotgun today for that. But okay. All right. Yeah, but no, man. So based on what you've heard and seen, what you think is going to happen, Maze? They're going to get him on the murder charge or the manslaughter?
I would be shocked.
You'd be shocked?
Yeah.
That they are convicted?
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying he's going to get off?
I don't know if he's going to get off. I would be shocked if he don't.
You think he's really going to get
off? But I'm not going to get upset. They want to chat out things about it.
But they got a second degree charge of manslaughter. That's you know, you don't need to have a heavy, well, that's in the civil law. You don't really need to have a heavy amount of proof in order to get that.
Yeah. And it was so bad one of the jurors had to leave out that they got sick. So,
when today?
I'm just like, no, last week. Was it Friday or Thursday? One of them got sick.
Well, they thought,
Mm-hmm. I mean, anybody can see that he's guilty, but everybody ain't gonna say he's guilty. And the drugs is killing because I was saying, when it came to people on drugs, they had worse things than that happen to them. They still live. So the drugs been killing. The cops killed them. And that don't mean you got to hate cops because
That's the whole case, Maze. The case is that, yes, he applied pressure, we all saw it, but if George Floyd was not on drugs, would that pressure have been enough to kill him? That's the question. So then other side is going to say, well, because it doesn't matter if he was on drugs or not, that pressure was enough to kill him, regardless.
And when you hear those come up with a situation like that, well, a combination of both would have killed him. Both the drugs and the man with the knee on the neck killed him, too.
Well, yeah. Then,
wrong with that? That's a possibility, isn't it? If he would have never put his knee on his neck, he'd probably still been living.
Well, of course, if he never
put his neck. Okay, that's one way of putting it, which, the prosecution probably could use. Yeah.
So, you have to look at it that way. So that's the way I see it.
Yeah, if he never shot him, he never would have died. Yeah, I mean, hey,
that's right.
Look, it goes back to any case. So, if he never did it, it never would have happened.
Right, and we'll go round and round and round and round.
You know,
so,
for everybody,
you know.
Everybody that died always got to be on drugs.
Well, that's what else. See, look, the defense attorney has a moral and a legal obligation to try to defend whatever claim he has to the fullest extent of the law.
Right.
So he's going to use, like that Twinkie defense, he has to use something in order to try to get his client off, even if it sounds outrageous. That's his obligation, if he's a good attorney.
Yeah, like the Flinzer kid.
Yeah,
the
Flinzer kid, two years to go to jail.
Yeah, exactly. He kept him out, didn't it? Yep, until he messed up some more. But anyway, back to the trial. Back to the trial. Yeah.
Well, that's my point in my view on it.
Well, Maze, before you go, though, see, you're not answering my questions. You're saying a lot, but you're not answering my questions.
What was your question?
Do you think at this point the prosecution has put forth a good case?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question.
You do?
Yeah,
that's the question.
Yeah, they put a good case together, but like the last time they put a good case together, what happened? They got off in Baltimore.
Saying they're gonna get off. They're gonna get off. I'm gonna ask you.
We're gonna come back at the end
of the trial and see what happened. But what does the defense have to do to keep him from going to jail, going to prison? Is jail and prison different, if y'all didn't know that?
to keep him from going to prison.
Yeah.
But they
yeah.
should do like that last cop that killed that lady. That's what they should do him.
Which is?
Send him straight on to prison.
No, that's not, oh, never mind, man.
And no roadblocks. No,
the question was, what do you think the defense should do?
What do I think the defense should do?
Yeah.
And there's too much they can do because they know he's guilty.
They know he's.
And I'm
they
trying,
know
I'm
he's
not
guilty.
Yeah.
They know he's guilty, right? But they still
well,
have to defend him.
Yes, they have to defend him.
Okay, so what do they have to do to make somebody? They only need one juror to believe that
just
he, you
one.
Know, right?
Yeah. And
but
it,
how?
It won't be hard to
how?
Do. It
how?
Won't be hard to do because if you got one to believe, if you got one to believe like Joe do, it's easy to do.
Why is it every show? You always attribute always something to me
no.
like you read my mind, and you always get it wrong.
I did. Do you think he's guilty, no?
I don't know if he's guilty.
Hello?
That's what
I
we're asking
he put
you, man.
Knee on the guy's neck for 9.5 minutes.
You know the prosecution attorney, he opened up his opening statement with a line like, believe what your eyes see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, think about that. And you know what? And I'm just thinking about what Joe said, blah, blah, for the video. Remember, and at the beginning of this whole trial, if you remember, the prosecution showed a lot of the video from different angles and different sides of the street and, had people comment on what was going on. So that is a very good.
Yeah.
See, which, yeah. Yes, Spike, we know.
Yeah.
Did they come
go
in
ahead.
On the other cops being on his back, too? Or were they just leaning down on the cement?
No. One was on his legs and one was over his back, but I think those two are their trial is going to be after this one. That's why this one is so important. If you remember in the Freddie Gray trial, once that first officer got off, the rest of them got off. Of course, they were being judged by the judge, a bench hearing.
It wasn't a jury trial then.
No, it wasn't a jury. Well, the first one did, and once he got off, everybody else did the same. Well, they just dropped the charges because he was the serious one. But, dang it, I forgot what I was saying now.
I got into a discussion with somebody who believes that because the family won a $25 million lawsuit, that's going to bleed over and make the jurors think that he's innocent.
I said that last week. I mean, the week before last. I said that.
Oh, you did?
Yes. Because what I said is, if you look at the way settlements have been given out, and then they have the trial, the settlement is given before the trial. 9 times out of 10, the officer gets off, walks free. And I was just saying, hey, I mean, I'm not telling you not to get your money, but wait till after the trial, then get your money. And then, because me and you, Joe, we were talking about how the jury would think that is. Because I said, man, somebody going to be sitting there saying, man, they got $25 million.
Well, that was what I was saying.
You know, they got $25. Why we want to send this man to jail now? They got what they deserve,
That's what I was saying. I don't know. I remember doing it on your show, but I remember saying it to somebody else that it could work both ways. The $25 million could say, see, the person's guilty, otherwise they wouldn't have gotten the $25 million. And somebody else would say they got the $25 million, so let's move on.
And
right.
If one is sent on the jury, that means he can find him innocent, right?
Yeah.
And
innocent.
It only takes one. And that's like I say, I will be surprised.
But, Mace, that doesn't mean they won't – well, it depends on – it depends. But 9 out of 10, it doesn't mean that they can't go back and retry him.
Mm-hmm.
No,
that might happen
if it's a hung jury, yeah, they might, yeah.
Yeah, they might, yeah, depending on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
what's the racial makeup of the jury?
It's a pretty good makeup. It is. It's a pretty good mixture. Whoever detected, they did pretty good. I can't think of it now. I know it's got at least a fourth black. I think they got a couple of Asians, some white. I think I need – man, I don't know. I'm trying to think of all this stuff. I think I know they got 4 blacks. I had to look it up. But, yeah.
Well, all right. 4 blacks, probably 4 Asians, and 4 whites.
Hey, that'd be perfect, wouldn't it?
That attack on that older woman by the black guy in the Asian community is up in arms. That could bleed over into that trial.
That couldn't bleed over in that trial?
Why?
Because it was an Asian cop. It was an Asian cop standing there too. Remember, he might be going to jail too.
Did the security guard
that could
was
lead
an
over
Asian
to
guy?
That trial?
He was, really?
Huh? Huh?
The security guard was an Asian guy?
No. I'm saying in the trial. We looking at now?
Oh.
No, the officer Tao or Chow, however they pronounce his name. The one that was closest
that
to the... That could bleed over.
Into that trial, Joe, because he had to come up for his turn, too.
But I don't see how that could bleed over, Maze.
Mm-hmm. No, it could.
How's that
going to
bleed over?
You know why? Because defense attorneys and prosecution attorneys... They, the smarter ones, they don't try to rely on just pure logic. They try to influence the jury through emotion. Even if the emotions don't make sense, that's their job, to try to persuade people through using their own particular philosophies to support the case, either the prosecution's case or the defense attorney's case. So there'll be times when things don't make sense, but it resonates with the jury. So you never really know. Anything can influence the jury.
That is true, Joe. I have to admit, that is true.
I have told people. I've been on jury. I haven't been on. I've been accepting a one jury case. It got dismissed one day later because the prosecution was so stupid. They wanted to have as the prosecution witness the best friend of the defendant, but the best friend blew town because he didn't want to testify against his best friend. So they dismissed the case. So I'm going, well, you should have thought of this in the beginning, you know? But then I've been selected for jury, but I never got on the jury the jury case itself. I never was selected for a case itself. But I'm telling you, you don't want today's jurors, today's people to be your juror. I'm telling you.
Hey, check this out. Here's the answer to your question, Joe. There's one black woman, two multiracial women, three white men, three black men, and six white women. You know, you had the six white women right.
But no Asians.
Yeah, but that's the makeup. Let's see. Biden in the chat room said, I don't care if Chauvin is innocent or guilty. He was involved in a death. I don't want him to work as law enforcement again in his lifetime. Okay. That's logical.
Mm. That's logical. It's because 9.5 minutes, you know. But the thing is it part of the policy of the police force? If it is, then the cops, in the past, not anymore, but in the past, they were exonerated.
That's that police immunity stuff. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So what do you think they did what they did in New York where you can sue the cops now?
That's
I think they should have. They should have been
did a long time ago.
I agree. They should have done that a long time ago. Anyway.
That's going to be a good program for you, Mr. Talk, because I disagree.
Because when they get
Why do you disagree, now? Joe? Why do you disagree?
Because cops are effed up to begin with. If they believe that anything they do will be under scrutiny and they can go to jail for that, that's why I brought up just now. If the policies have changed, whereby if a cop follows the policies of of whatever police department, and that policy results in a death or in some sort of mishap, that cop, not the police force, that cop is responsible now. Plus, they don't have insurance. You think a cop is going to – they don't risk their lives now for us. You think a cop is going to go risk their life when they feel, hey – they got security cameras all around here. They're going to have a defense attorney who's going to make me look like an idiot. Uh-uh. They're not going to get involved whatsoever now.
But yes, they will, because you got cops that put on the line. They do their job. It's just a tiny bit of them that don't do it.
That's all it takes.
The good ones are glad, are happy about it, too. Because he's on the cops, too. The same
go
thing
ahead,
happened to cops. If they're not in uniform, same thing happened to them. If you don't know that's a cop and you harassing him, and you find out one, and then you looking silly. So it's like it's not determined to all cops, Joe. It's just that truth. That's in the way. And it's stopping from being trigger happy for some people.
You know,
Bite
in the chat room says Chauvin is on trial, not police department or policy. Bite, I don't know, because it may come down to that. You know, it actually may come down to police policy and when the policy was in effect, and then Chauvin had the training, you know, since that new policy was placed in. So it may actually come, you know, be something that needs to be asked and answered.
I disagree with the guy in the chat. It probably will be brought up. It probably will be a major issue.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you know what, Mike? Actually, I'm on the roll today with this number. You know, it's not even about Chauvin anymore. It's about 9 minutes and 29 seconds. That's what it's about.
Yep.
That's what the prosecution should focus on to a good degree, because that nine, when you hear 9 minutes on somebody's neck and you start imagining, even if you're wrestling playfully around or if you take martial arts and you've got somebody on your neck and you can't get up for 9 minutes, that nine minutes is the longest 9 minutes in your life.
Yeah. Most of us can't stay on our knees for 9 minutes anymore. You know what I mean? Let alone tell my – think about it now. Most of you get on your knee, and after 2 seconds, it's beginning to hurt. Mm-hmm. Now, some of y'all go home and try and stay down there for 9 minutes and 30 seconds, see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Be calling those special people in the red truck. Come help you get up off the floor.
But,
see?
Were they really co-workers?
Well,
that's just something that they were doing.
Back in the day? Yeah, back in the day.
Oh, they were? Well, he said they were about something.
Because they were security at some of the clubs together. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. And I'm leaving it at that. I told Joe something else earlier this morning. I ain't telling him right now.
I can imagine what you
said. Anyway, Mike says, I agree, the policy is wrong, but he cannot be punished if the jurors don't like the policy. Yeah, well, I guess that's who it does come down to as well. Huh?
Well, the jurors don't like the policy, right?
But if the policy is there,
the policy, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Then it tends to favor the defense.
But some would argue that he did not follow the policy. Under the definition, this is why I tell you words get crazy and you have to look at the definition and, yeah. So
right.
What is the definition of excessive force in their police policy, in their policy? You know what I, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What is not allowed? What is allowed? You know, who can override you using this type of force? You know, you see how crazy that could go real quick? Now, if I thought about it, I know if somebody else thought about it, too.
Well, yeah, but 9 minutes to be on somebody's neck, you have to ask yourself, was George Floyd that much, because they don't show George Floyd being that much of somebody who's giving the cops a battle. They just have him in the store, taking him out of the store or going out of the store, and then all of a sudden he's on his side. You know?
Joe, I'm gonna tell you what you do, because when you get down, go to YouTube, right, and start from day one of the trial. And once you see all those videos from the different angles and what was going on, it's Chauvin looked kind of shaky there.
Oh, it does.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, the hardest part I have is once he's inside the vehicle, you know.
Right.
I really didn't understand too much of saying, but you know, why did they decide to go in and yank him out the other side when they already had that one door open already?
Yeah, that's a good question. Was he giving them trouble, or were they looking for trouble? You know, they could be taking up either side of that.
When did the cops come? Did they come while he was in the store, or after he got in the car?
When they got there, he was in the car.
Okay, so then they went to the car to get...
Yeah. Okay. Because, see, what people don't realize, it started across the street. it just didn't start right there. It started across the street from one of the witnesses said. It started across the street.
Oh.
I guess that's where the officers first parked at and walked across.
You mean the cops approached him while he was by the store before he got inside the car?
No, they were already in the car.
They were
in the car. Yeah, they were in the car. See, y'all got me. I got to go back and watch it all over again, man, and take more notes.
Then they handcuff him.
Yeah.
And then he's on the ground.
And you know what? I just thought about it. He never was charged with anything. Think about it. He was never charged.
He was being charged because he's high.
Now.
I guess
see, that's the other thing. The little clerk said, he seemed like he high. He not right. But when you see him in the video standing in the store, he's fine.
Yep.
You know, he's talking, he's laughing. So, you know, when did he seem high? When did he seem off balance or what have
you?
Now
you're acting like a defense attorney.
Well, yeah, maybe he was seen high when somebody gave him something.
You gone to the defense side, Mace, and that's what they're saying. You know, when he was wrestling with the officers, he placed something in his mouth, and that's where you see that white foam coming out of his mouth from. They are saying, you know, that's what they're going to present.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if nobody took a sample of what that was, I guess nobody really know what it is.
They didn't take it. Nobody took a sample of it.
I'm just saying, Joe. I haven't heard it brought up yet as to what was coming out of his mouth. They just say white phone, and that's it. So from what that tells me, if I was either attorney, that I would want that, you know, if it would help me. But nobody has brought it up. They just, like, overlooked it. I guess I watch too much CSI shows.
If I was a defense attorney, it depends. If what came out of his mouth was as a result of, let's say, the body reaction, almost gasping for air and maybe almost vomiting and stuff like that, and with no drugs in the foam, I'm telling you, that cop is convicted. But if that foam had any traces of drugs, fentanyl, et cetera, that cop's going free.
Well, maybe not. I'm telling you, the ER doctor kind of put a damper in that theory too. But you know what, Joe, and that's what I was saying. That's why I like what the prosecution is doing. They're throwing it out there. They say, yes, he had a drug problem. Yeah,
that's a good thing for the prosecution. Yeah,
you know, yes, he had a drug problem. Okay.
And
you see him when in the store, he's standing fine. He's doing fine. Is when he encountered in his encounter with the officers, then boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
But he was okay at the wheel when he was sitting in the car, too.
All
of a sudden, things just went like, just like the last man in Carolina that died with the gun that they put on him and say he had a gun.
But the bottom line is, you know, we have to keep in mind, that's why I got to keep watching, is we're just seeing what the prosecution has against Chauvin right now. That's all we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So
right. Mm-hmm.
And we need to find out what the defense has in favor of Chauvin and really determine, you know, who's going to do this or not.
You know,
what the prosecution is doing. All right, who got the funny ring going on?
That's not me. That's got to be, you know.
That's me.
That's the kid, of course.
All right.
Well, you know what?
Go ahead, Joe. You should say something?
Yeah, got me thinking about if they're going to investigate Floyd's past, they're going to investigate, what's this cop's name, Chauvin?
Wait a minute, Joe. The chief just said it's contrary to our training to indefinitely place your knee on a handcuffed person's neck. The chief just say it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's not.
Now,
that's
think
not
about
happening.
It, though. Huh. Yeah, that's right. He was handcuffed. So, yeah, 9 minutes and 29 seconds. He was handcuffed. And the other guy had his feet tied, I think. Yeah.
And he wasn't fighting. So, I don't understand.
No, he was actually begging.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was begging. More begging than he was doing anything.
Yeah.
And he was high.
Yeah, begging for
a prayer.
He was begging
to
for a prayer. And yeah,
well, Maze, I don't know about that. I don't care how high you are. If your life is in danger, somebody going to bang big.
Someone
you know, depending on what's going on.
All right,
let's bring the other part of the Three Musketeers in. Here's P. Yankee, y'all. Mm-hmm. No, it's P. Yankee.
Oh,
yes, P. Yankee. How are you,
hey, Eric, what's going on, man? Who y'all talking about?
What are
George,
you
the landlord, Floyd?
Okay, yeah, ha, ha. Okay, yeah, P. Yankee, that's what we're talking about, the trial. But what is your input?
The man that hated
himself. Well, here's the thing, Eric. The police officer was applying a technique that was approved by the police department.
That's not true.
And in the directions on how to use it, it never talked about how long to use it. Now, the family got paid a settlement because while the police had him in custody, they were supposed to, he wasn't supposed to get killed. Same thing with Freddie Gray in the back of that truck. He was in custody. So at that point, he becomes a liability of the city, unless he does something crazy. So that's why they got the settlement. Now you're trying to show that the police officer has done something criminal. Well, he was just following the procedure that was approved by not only that department, but other departments across the country. Now, some remodeled theirs, reformed them, and some got rid of them. But it's going to be hard to show that the man done something premeditated, of course. And we have to see what happened. It's a federal trial, by the way, not a state trial.
Well, you know, yes and no. Thank you.
Well, you know,
because
the operative word is indefinite.
Is what, Joe?
I said the operative word in that definition in the policy is indefinitely. So does indefinitely mean 9 minutes, 2 days, 2 minutes, half an hour?
Did the man say it was against their rules and their regulations to do that?
No, I never did say that. It couldn't be.
He did say so. He should understand it.
Well,
it wasn't against the
rules.
Chief just said.
The chief said that what the chief said is afterwards. But at the time it happened, it was legal in that department to do it.
Okay. All right. So it's legal, Pianki. 9 minutes and 29 seconds?
It don't tell you how often. You know, Pianki,
shouldn't you look down once or twice and check a pulse so you know you got your knee on somebody's neck?
Well, he was being distracted by a crowd.
Okay. So there's three officers laying, you know, stretched out across his body. One of them couldn't came and check the pulse. And he told him, ask him to.
No, he didn't have to do it. Where in the manual does it say you're supposed to do that? See, that's the problem. People let the department.
But look,
you know,
Now, come on now.
Eric, it
you cannot make me believe. You cannot make me believe that there's no guidance on how long you should keep a stranglehold on a you might as well say prisoner. You say they belong to the city or the state once they're handcuffed. So, yeah.
Yeah, but this is where that became assumptive. When he wouldn't get in the car. He wouldn't pull his feet and turn around and get in the car.
Because he said he couldn't breathe. He said he had, I just had it in my brain. Anyway, claustrophobic. That's it. Thank you, Maze.
Yeah,
he was claustrophobic. He was telling him he couldn't breathe.
Well, he said he couldn't breathe when he was walking him away from the building.
See, once again, here you go. Because personally, if that me, I would have put him in there and let the windows down. Okay, you got fresh air coming through.
That would have been a good idea.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Sometimes you have to argue with nothing. You have to leave it like it is. Because he was sitting on that jury, he'd be walking. Yeah, like I said.
Well, the jury goes by what evidence is presented. I've sat on juries before. I sat on one a year ago. I sat on a jury in 2018 and 2019.
Bite in the chat room says, this is a criminal trial. Chauvin has to be proven guilty beyond a shadow of a doubt, not a preponderance
Absolutely.
Of the evidence. And she said, and they said, hello, Pianki. Anyway, yeah.
Let me tell you something else, too, I see you got on your marquee on this voter reform.
Now, how about we stay where I'm at right now?
Don't let me forget it, please.
All right. Now, okay. So, with all that being said, Pianki, if you was on the jury right now, you would vote to acquit.
Well, I'm only going by what I've seen. I haven't listened to the trial. I haven't listened to the trial.
By what you've seen.
From what I've seen, and if they can't show where he was instructed in training on how long to apply that type of technique, if he applied it longer than what the training book says, then yes, I would find him guilty.
And that would be the only reason.
Well, what other reason would you have to sign? It wouldn't be first-degree murder. It probably would be third-degree. Homicide.
Okay.
And, you know, it could be third-degree justified a homicide.
Either one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, you got to see what happened in the trial. And see people hollering about the jury. Well, see, that's a federal case in that district. And I forget what is that, the 3rd U.S. District, 9th U.S. District? Well, that consists of several counties, and the lawyers pull jury members from those counties. It don't come from just one city like Minneapolis. I tell you what, you're lucky it don't come from Minneapolis, because Minneapolis have a large Muslim population, and they would take his character into consideration.
But shouldn't that be involved? I mean, anyway, that the defense should present when it's their time to present witnesses? His the character.
So if the prosecutor presents that, then they would go back to where he and 4 others invaded that woman's home, that white woman's house that was pregnant.
I was about to bring that up.
That brings about his character.
No, I'm talking about a Chauvin. I'm talking about Chauvin.
No, Chauvin wasn't involved in that
home
invasion.
Because the judge has already said today, earlier today. What did the judge say? That Floyd's state of mind was not relevant in his trial. Chauvin's intent with the training he has received. You know, basically what Bice said, they got to show he had intent when he was trying to kill, when he had his knee on his neck. So they have
to
show
that move is a restraining move. There's videos where whites have been in that same technique and end up dying.
Okay. So you know, Pianki, I knew you was going to go there. You got to defend your people. It's okay. I'm good with that.
No, I ain't defending no people. I'm just looking at it from a point of due process.
Okay. Okay. But we're talking about George Floyd. We're not talking about YP. What did you say other?
George Floyd, the Chauvin is being afforded due process.
But how does that help Floyd?
It ain't doing – Floyd did.
Yeah, but you're saying that white people had died, right, as a result of being in that same position?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that it ain't racial, because whites have been in the position, too.
But then that helps Chauvin, then.
Well, yeah, he's a police officer. Well, see, now, here's the thing with Chauvin and any other cop. That is a separate municipality. And see, in each municipality have rules and regulations, which is pertaining to the only thing that controls that municipality is the state, not the White House. Federal government has nothing to do with how you run your police department.
Afraid not. I'm afraid that every state, every municipality is controlled by the federal government because they all take money from the federal government, and that money is in the billions of dollars.
When it's a civil rights violation.
No, I'm not even talking about just any particular individual cases. I'm talking about overall, any kind of decisions that the state, the city makes, always has to be in
the court. No, they don't, Joe. I sat on a police commission. The federal government can't tell you, Jack.
But
the same thing in your school district, too. They can't tell you how to run a school district.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on. We definitely gonna get to that part, what you just said here, in a few minutes. Now, I definitely won't talk about that. But before we go there, back to the restraint. I mean, handcuffs and somebody on his ankles, you know, zip tie wasn't good enough. And so he had to put his neck in his hand.
He had handcuffs on him over at the building, right?
Right.
They set him down alongside the building. Then for some reason or another, they felt that they needed to take him down. And as the department rule says, in many cases, you have to handcuff a person behind their back. Now, sometimes you can use two sets of cuffs. If one, if it's a large person where, you know, they got a large midriff, then you can use two sets of cuffs where it lets his arms spread out for him further.
Okay. Well, in this case, that wasn't the case.
No.
Yeah. And listen, I'm sad that the man lost his life. I really am.
No, I bet you are. Looks like, can I say something?
Go ahead, Mace.
Sometimes your lips and your ass can see things, but your brain can't catch it with what you're looking at. That's what's wrong with Pianta. So
never been in handcuffs. I couldn't tell you.
I've never been in them either, and don't plan on being in no handcuffs.
Okay.
And one thing
and
I tell you one thing that we don't see today is compliance. You got to comply and respect authority. Eric, and you can testify, you know this yourself. You don't see authority being respected in the home, the school, and when it works its way out in the street.
Wait a minute. What you mean I can contest to this myself? What the heck are you trying
to
say?
You've seen videos. You've seen children acting up in school. You've seen what goes on in the street.
Okay. All right. Now, did you clarify? Yes. Go ahead, Mays.
You know the man that was trying to save the man that was sick, that was laying on the ground, the man that was laying on the ground, and the cop shot him. And he wasn't even the one that caused the problem. He worked, was it a nursing home or whatever? He was compliant. And the one in Oklahoma that had his hands up in the air, he was being compliant. And what happened to him? So people be compliant.
Yeah, that was a different situation, a different city, a different police officer. He was great. Police officer in the wrong.
I get sick of people with these one-liners. From a compliance in the home. You tell me about them people up at the Capitol. Did they have any compliance in the home?
That's a different situation, too.
Oh, it's a different situation. Still the same one.
Which one? The latest one? Where the black man got killed?
What?
At the Capitol? The latest one?
Well, he's dead because what? He broke the law. And that's why he's dead.
He charged the police officer with a weapon.
I'm glad y'all having this discussion, because once you think about this, you know, in some instances you see somebody charged officer, they're shot, okay, they're mm-hmm. shot, but then again mm-hmm. you see somebody else butt naked yielding a knife running, and the officer is running from them. What's the difference there?
That's up to the officer how he handling it. But I've seen a white female officer kill a white male who had just stabbed somebody else someplace else, and he was coming on her with a knife. She waited till he got about 20 feet and started unloading. He still came and fell at her feet. I think she should. I mean, that was dangerous. That's because if you shoot somebody, don't mean they ain't gonna keep coming.
But that's in a different municipality.
And a different municipality, just like the
Capitol,
but in just
this
like
case,
the other one.
But in this case right here, you don't think Chauvin used excessive force?
No.
Do I think he used excessive force? He used what he was had at his option during the restraint. What could have been the force continuum? The force continuum would have been for him to use his weapon, but he didn't use his weapon, which would have been excessive force.
That was excessive force.
The operative word in the definition you gave, Bianchi, was indefinitely. Is indefinitely going to be measured as 9 minutes, 2 seconds, a half an hour, 2 days?
That's right.
It's going to be.
And the training probably didn't stipulate that, Joe. It probably is not in the manual.
Probably leaving it up to the cop. And if the cop, under this situation, was hearing somebody saying, I can't breathe, and he may or may not have believed them. I don't know all the particulars yet about the case.
May not even heard him with the noise from the
maybe
crowd.
Maybe not. But we can't just dismiss one particular side and not take into consideration the other. And that goes for prosecution or the defense.
Right.
I
agree with
both.
That.
Yeah. Like I said, Mr. Paul, you can find one out there. They're probably sitting on that jury, too. They're like the one that you're listening to.
Well, if the one sitting on the jury want to hear all the evidence before they come to a conclusion, that's a good juror.
But let me ask you a question, Mr. Tull. You've seen the case where the two girls hijacked the Uber car. Did you see that one?
No, I did not see that one.
And he was dragging these two girls. They drove off with this man's Uber car, and he was hanging on trying to get them to stop.
So
the car went on, flipped, and threw him across the top, and he died.
Uh-huh.
And the girls was 13 and 15.
Mm-hmm. They sure
okay,
were.
And they was black.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Do you think that the 15-year-old should be punished as an adult for causing the man to lose his life, which the state law provides for, and the 13-year-old would have to be charged at a juvenile, but to the greatest extent that the law allows for a juvenile. I've heard some people say that no, neither one of them should be charged because they're not old enough to realize what they was doing.
That like some of them privileged people's excuses there. Yeah. Yeah, that's what that is. Huh? But makes you sound like you're underwater.
Yeah.
Okay. Now can you hear me? Now when the librarian was killed, and
what
you had
a librarian?
I'm gonna tell you. See, they were white, so they killed. They went to the house to get her son, but they ran over the librarian and killed her. They were 14 and 16.
Ran over in a vehicle.
That's right. They ran over. His father was a preacher, and he ran over her in the church van and killed her. Look it up, and then you tell us about that one, too. And those were young kids with no morals and no values. That's the only thing black men don't have any.
Well, it doesn't see color of skin really don't make you talking about a human being. That's what human beings do.
No, you brought color in. You said they were black girls.
Well, for a description.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you why I bring color in. Just like the incident with the Capitol, there's no mention of the man's color. But if it had been a white person, it would have been mentioned all up and down.
How do we know what color he is then?
Because his pictures was in the paper.
Yeah. But you know what? No. Okay. Well, let's move on from this conversation. I see it's going nowhere.
No, and the moral of the story is, Mr. Salt, you got young kids of all colors doing stuff. He's just going to pick out one because they were black girls at 13 or 14. So were they.
And it was the most recent one that happened.
No, you go back and find that article and tell us about that one.
I ain't going back and find that. You talking
okay.
about what it happened 5 years ago?
No,
I'm talking about the most. I talked about the most recent one that happened, and there was discussion on it, like I explained.
Look, y'all, my time is running down, so I ain't got time for this.
Election reform.
You want to talk about? You want to talk about Mays?
Georgia's luxury reform.
Georgia's luxury reform. What are you talking about?
Election voters reform. I'm sorry.
Okay, what about the voters reform?
Well, see, like if people have read that, 98 pages, there's nothing in that voters reform bill. It's SB 202 AP as passed. There's nothing in there that suppresses black vote, let alone anybody else's vote, because the narrative that's been put out there, oh, they're trying to stop black people from voting. They can't give them no water. That is just not true. Read the bill.
Does it say in that bill, wait a minute, Mays, does it say in that bill that state legislators can overturn, or is it giving state legislators more control of county election offices?
No, what gives them the control to vary the law is the U.S. Constitution. Now, wait a minute, you're in Georgia, right?
Stop, right there before you even go any further. Okay, so basically what you said is the Constitution says that the legislature can control the local government's elections.
Yeah, that's what the Constitution does.
Not the local government election. They can
it's the state election.
But I'm saying, from what I've read and understand, they're arguing about the county. The county being, you know, taken over by state legislature, by the state.
No, if that's the case, then it's wrong.
Huh?
Well, this is what it is. How many counties do you have in Georgia? And each county has a superintendent that's over elections.
Right, that's true.
Now, it's the superintendent's responsibility to make sure that they got voting machines, the material goes out, and everything.
And you got to be out there for 8 hours.
Now, what that law does, I'm going to point out some great things. People talk about the ID. You know, in the state of Georgia, you have to have ID that's more stringent to cash a lotto ticket than it does to vote. You got to include your Social Security number to cash that lotto ticket.
Can I ask a question?
You don't have to have a Social Security number to vote.
All right, hold on, Maze. Wait, Maze.
Another thing it does, Eric.
Quickly, Pianki, quickly. I'm running out of time here.
When you have outside donations like you've seen in many places, Facebook was donating money, probably Coca-Cola. They was donating money to particular counties in order to influence people to come out and vote, providing water, pizza, and other things. This law says, you have to donate the money, goes to a central agency in the state, and they distribute the money equally amongst all the counties. That's good.
Yeah, that's not good. And you know what? Bianchi? No, dog.
Well, yes, it is good.
But it's not. But we'll talk about this at another time.
You know it's illegal to buy votes.
I'm running out. But haven't the rich been doing it? Wait a minute. Haven't the rich been doing that for years? So why is all of a sudden it's a problem?
If they done it, it was allowed. But now you got to distribute the money equally.
But it's only allowed on one side. It's not allowed on both sides. You know what I'm saying?
No,
it's not the same for both sides.
It's a law that applies to the whole state.
Right. So next time they get a Democratic legislature, then they can change it so it be favoring them, right? You don't see the problem with that?
No, I don't. I think it's best
the way it is. Of course you wouldn't. Okay. All right.
Thank you, Pianki.
Go ahead, Baze, because you're giving me a headache. Go ahead and ask your question.
I want Pianki to go out and fight, and I want you to have him, Joe. So he can have the same rights you got, not a Voting Rights Act. He wants the same rights you got so he can go in and vote like you. And ask him when is he going to come up.
He's already got the
like
same
that.
Rights.
No, he does not. He has a Voting Rights Act. You just got the right to vote. And when are they going to clear it so everybody can have the same
Voting Rights Act? What is he talking about?
What is the Voting Rights Act, Pianki, that they vote on every 10 years? You don't know what that
whatever.
Is? Mean,
there's no voting. You mean this thing where you say that blacks got to, you have to vote? If blacks can, the Congress has to vote to okay blacks to be able to.
Yes,
that was
right.
A myth.
There
ain't nothing true
you
about
know,
that.
That's not a myth. You know that. And Joe don't have that. So when the voters write, well, I can vote like he vote and you can vote like he vote, then you can go sit down.
What you're talking about was Section 5 of this 1965 Voters' Rights Act, which applied to a handful of states, counties, and even districts.
Okay.
He mad because
all right,
he mad because
hold
he
on.
Georgia and
oh.
I voted.
All right,
Maze,
and
Maze,
you know who
Maze,
done away.
Put a break on it for a moment. You too, Pianki. Put a break on it for a moment. All right, y'all. I'm getting short on time here, and y'all know I let them two go. That we be here at 7 o'clock tonight, and that ain't gonna happen. All right, so I'm gonna let y'all get your last words in. Hold it to 2 minutes, please, because I need to roll. All right, so go ahead, Pianki. Go on and get your last in.
Well, yeah, and another thing about the law is that the ballots are on special paper. So if you try to Xerox copy them, then you would have a watermark on the ballot that said, been copied. This is a copy. And that's a good thing. That way people can't go out copying ballots in order to increase the number of a particular ballot. It's a good thing. The thing about the water, you can't have food or canvassing within a certain distance of the poll. Anything beyond that, you can have as many as you want. And one of the problems with some of those precincts in Georgia, you had people who didn't live in the precinct wanted to come to the precinct and vote along with the rest of their friends who did live in the precinct. So what happens? You put a large burden on that precinct. They got to check and do this and all. That's why I come here. Okay. Lines that stretch for miles.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. All right. all right, Mace.
Yes, Mr. Tucker, as I said, people like Pionk are just agitated. His brain can't catch up with his lips. And when it comes to voting, usually like no Sunday voting. Can't vote on Sunday unless what you were doing at first. And it's just like the same man that came up with this bill that he passed. He went and voted absentee, walked to the mailbox and put his mail in there, moved mailboxes out of places and different things. Pionk is full of it. He think everybody's slow like the people he be on their shows and listening to. He need to wake up because he's sleepy and let his brain catch up with his lips. And that's all I got to say. And you have a good one.
All right. Thank you, Mace. All right, Joe. You last one standing.
Oh, yeah. All right. Same as always. Does everybody be safe? I hope you do the 300 again. And I'll see you next time.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. All right. All right, y'all. What an interesting show. Lively for sure. Okay. So I guess next week we'll talk a little bit about this Georgia bill, law, whatever it is. Yeah. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about Utah, y'all. Utah just passed a law here. About men having to pay for their baby mama's paternity stuff. Yeah, we'll talk about that next week as well. Yeah, I already put that down in my numerates. That should be a good one. But anyway, hey, I'm checking out this trial for you. And you can watch it too if you want to. I'm learning so much. But, I'll try and give you the updates next Monday. Yeah, I should be here next Monday. Give you the update next Monday, and we'll roll from there. I want to thank everybody who hung out with me today. Sism, Know Thyself, Pianki, and Vibe4Byte in the chat room. Y'all, thank you for hanging out. And, of course, my three regulars, Joe, Mason, Pianki. Hey, always a lively conversation for sure. Everybody else who's listening or have listened and left, thank you as well. It's been fun. Y'all have a great week, and I'll see you back here next Monday. 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern. And everybody out there on the West Coast, if you're listening, you wouldn't hurt during the earthquake this morning, good for you. Keep it moving. All right, so we're going to go out of here, man. I think I feel like some UGK, because I know Chauvin probably feel like they're trying to catch him riding dirty, but I think they done caught him already. Until next week, man, remember, keep smiling, show appreciation, forgive with open heart, but make sure you're forgiving yourself first. And the biggest, best thing, baby, we're learning to laugh at yourself. If you can laugh at yourself, everything else is just groovy. Until then, man, y'all have a good one. I'm out of here. Shine on the deck and the TV screen. Riding with a new chick. She like hold up next to the PlayStation controller. It's a full clip in my send a jacker into a coma. Girl, you ain't on crazy like crazy bone. Just tryna bone, ain't tryna have no babies. Ride clean as hell, so I pull in ladies. Laws on patrolling, you know they hate me. Music turn all the way up into the maximum. I can speak the try to jack for some, but we packing something that we have for we'll have a locked up in the maximum security cell. I'm gripping old music loud and I'm tipping slow. Twin steady twisting like hit this dough. Behind in the skinless throw, the windows down, gotta stop pollution. City change, like who was that producing? That's the plan skills when we out cruising. Got warrants in every city except Houston, but I still ain't losing. They see me rolling, they hating, patrolling and trying to catch me riding dirty.
cause I really can't focus. I gotta get it home with a popo smoke. This big old scourge of swerving all up in the curb and been sipping on the hitter, singing the gin again and sin again. We in the wind, doing a 100 while I puff on the blunt. I roll another one up, we living like we ain't going. I got a blunt up at my right hand, what's in my left freezing mouth. Running up the tree, green leaves and all. Coming pretty deep, me and my dog, Joe. Like I didn't hit the back street. Wondering about the 6,000, I got heat. Black shots to the block, we creak, creak. Pop, pop, hook. Sing me on a low key. With no regard for the law, we dodge them like, come on. But I won't.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.